This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Record with Shivago Lang is brought to you by Bahamas First General Insurance Company, Bank of the Bahamas, Burger King, The Cleveland Clinic, Everybody Wins, Janae's Uniform Center, Marco's Pizza, Prince Masters, RF Bank and Trust, Ron's Electric Motors, Southwest Plaza, Star General, Insurance Made Simple, Tampa General Hospital, and the Tourism Development Corporation.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join me here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. How's the sound, producer? Just let me know. I'm not in my usual familiar places today, so let me know. But so glad that you could join us today. If you want to give us a call on the show, the numbers remain the same. You can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232. You can call us on 325-4316. 325-4316 or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can call on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's the Guardian Radio's text line, 422-4796. Those of you who try to text the show when I'm not on my WhatsApp line, you're doing the wrong thing. That 4393043 is my personal WhatsApp number, which I extend to people who are more comfortable texting that way. But don't text it if somebody else's show is on, because I'm not answering it and they can't get your message. You text the 4796 line. That's how you get the Guardian Radio, no matter who the host is. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. So let me just let you know, we have a great summer escape giveaway, okay? And so we're going to be able to give away on Guardian Radio's account a ticket, some stuff, right? You got to fill out the entry form that's found in the newspaper, and then you drop it in the box at the Nassau Guardian. Then you tune in to Star 106.5 FM or Guardian Radio Talk Radio 96.9 for your chance to win. And then you could follow us on Facebook or Instagram and click on the Great Summer Escape ad and you can enter. So go get your form, fill out your form, submit it to the Guardian Radio. The deadline to do this is August 12th, 2026, where the drawing is going to happen on, because the drawing is going to happen on August 14th, 2026. So if you won that summer escape, so to win a trip for two to Fort Lauderdale, this includes your ticket, your hotel, your car, your luggage, and fine sugar, $1,000 in cash. You all heard that? Okay, a trip for two to Fort Lauderdale. Oh, your hotel will be included, your car will be included, your luggage, and $1,000 in cash. That's a great summer escape. Fill out your form. It's found in the newspaper today. Drop it in the box at the Nassau Guardian. Tune in to Guardian Radio or Star 106.5 on August 14, 2026 to see if you've won. Child, please. Also, you can check out our social media pages or tune in to Guardian Radio and Star 106.5 to learn more ways to enter. I didn't see some of y'all salivating. Because you know we Bahamians believe we have a God-given right to go to Florida. And if we could go to Florida to shop. Oh, sugar. Now. Surprise, surprise. The Minister of Finance says, we are sticking to our projection, no matter what Fitch say. Minister says we are sticking to our projection, no matter what Fitch says. The Prime Minister says, we're sticking to our projection. That's their prediction, their prediction. That's their prediction. We are sticking to our projection. I'm not surprised. I'm not even being funny. I'm not surprised. You expect something different? No, not even close. Now, let me further enlighten you though. You know how Fitch became a part of the credit rating system of the Bahamas? They were invited by Prime Minister Davis and those to do so. Yeah, Prime Minister Davis said that his government's effort to support their ambitious goal of strengthening the Bahamas' credit rating alongside Moody's and S&P, he wanted and invited Fitch to be a part of that process. So that's how Fitch got here. Fitch didn't just volunteer to come to the Bahamas and do any kind of assessment of the Bahamas' credit rating. We are still, according to Standard & Poor's and Moody's, we are still at junk status in our credit rating. We slid down the junk status line beginning in 2021. We were not in investment grade status, I believe. Ingram, we were still in investment grade status when Ingram lost office. Still, we were in investment grade. I think in the earliest days of the Minnis administration, we remained in investment grade status. I think we actually dropped to junk status during the pandemic and them, and then slid some more in 2021 and those, down about two or three notches or so. And now we went up a notch, but we're still in junk status. Meaning that we are what they call speculative grade. Meaning, if you're an investor, we're telling you this isn't the most creditworthy place, but you know, if you're prepared to pay, if they're prepared to pay the interest, you can still lend to them, but they're going to pay some more for that loan. So the Prime Minister, though, set about to put us at Baa3 from Moody's, BBB from Standard & Poor's, I think, or I might have it reversed. And so what they did was they said they were establish a program to do this and work to get us some fiscal gains that would help us do this. And so they also invited Fitch to come along because Standard & Poor's and Moody's were invited by Ingram and Sir William Allen, the late, to come to assess the Bahamas' credit rating. Before that, There was no international agency that had been invited to come and look at the Bahamas' books and see the extent of our creditworthiness. It was Sir William Allen and Prime Minister Ingram that brought Moody's and Standard & Poor's to do that. Says, yeah, we are prepared for you to do an assessment of our themes. And so added to that was Fitch now, which was done by Prime Minister Davis. And now Fitch is saying, no, we look at you, your situation. We don't think you can have a $223 million surplus. In fact, we think you're going to have a $64 million deficit. That means you're going to have a $300 million difference in the negative compared to what you say you have. Prime Minister Davis says, we sticking to our guns. The Minister of Finance says, we sticking to our predictions. Now, let me ask you a question. If Fitch could forecast that the government can have a deficit, and the government says, we're listening to y'all. Not listening to y'all. We don't believe you. When Fitch says, this is a good credit rating country, why should you believe them now? Why should you believe them? Why, if you can't trust their modeling, why should you trust the assessment? Prime Minister Davis said, but look at them, look at these folks, they have gotten it wrong on our predictions before. And that is true. But so is the government. The government don't get its predictions right. Even if you get a prediction that's above your revenue, that means you didn't get your prediction right, you know. Think about that, right? If you say you're going to collect $1,000 and you collect $1,010, something wrong with your model, you could say. Because why didn't you pick up that you'd get to collect more? If you say you collect $1,000 and get $900, something's still wrong with your model. So the government doesn't get its model, its numbers exactly right at all. So if Fitch is wrong, their predictions can't be trusted. Why is their assessment that your credit rating is X, Y, and Z trustworthy? Why? It's the same people. It's the same entity. It's the same institution. It's the same organization. That's what happens when you trade, when you day trade on data. And when you day trade on institutions, putting all kind of stake in what they say, as opposed to seeing them as just a point on the map that has to be corroborated with other pieces of information and evidences to more strongly assess the state of things. It's no different than saying, my doctor said I have cancer. And you say, and the evidence seems to support that is the case, but I'm going to get a second and a third opinion. What are you trying to do? What you're trying to do is to get several data points on the map that gives you a better sense of where you are. You notice that cellular phones, GPS systems and the like, they don't take one point and try to assess where you are, They triangulate. They pick up points, various points around you, and they use that to say, he or she is more likely in that space and location than anywhere else. And that's how you do it. And that's why I don't put any singular, overwhelming stake in any point of reference. I see it as a source of reference, a point of reference, which has to now be checked against perhaps other points. But that ain't how politicians is work. All right? I ain't asking nobody. You know just how it goes. If the IMF pops up tomorrow and says, the Bahamas can meet a surplus, you know exactly what you're going to hear from the Minister of Finance and Prime Minister. Even the IMF prediction. And then if the IMF come back later on and say, we were wrong, they're not going to do it. They say, no, we don't believe them. We sticking to our guns. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll take a break and be back after this break. Take a stand, everybody, come take.
may be hot outside, but you can stay cool knowing BOB is backing your summer plans. That's because summer starts with Bank of the Bahamas.
Whether you're paying school fees, planning home improvements, or taking a much-needed vacation, BOB offers the lowest consumer loan rate in the country, and we will beat any rate offered by 1%.
So don't sweat the small stuff. Let BOB help you take care of business so you can get to summer fun. Apply for your BOB summer loan today.
BOB, your bank of solutions.
Marco's Pizza. Yeah, yeah. Marco's Pizza. Yeah, yeah. Summer never tasted so good.
Marco's Summer Party is bringing the fun. Choose two large one-topping pizzas with a 2-liter soda for just $34.95. Or grab a big square deal, one medium one-topping pizzas with boneless wings for just $39.95. Enter to win weekly Bahabe water passes and your very own Marco's Summer Party all summer long. Marco's Pizza. Summer never tasted so good.
At Cleveland Clinic, you set your course, not cancer. So when your journey takes an unexpected turn, you seek out the experts who've conquered it before, and you forge new paths to help fight cancers. For every route to a cure, for every care in the world, see how we're innovating cancer care at Cleveland Clinic today.
At Star General, you can go gold. Comprehensive car insurance covers loss or damage from accidents, fire, theft, and third-party liability. But the Gold Package gives you increased coverage for rental car and windscreen, personal accident, medical benefits, deductible waiver, and 24-hour roadside assistance where available. Our Star General Gold Package also gives you up to $2,500 for accidental damage to a rental car anywhere in the Bahamas. Go gold with Star General. Insurance made simple.
New school year, new gear. From uniforms to laptops, a Fidelity personal loan can help you check every item off of your kids' school list. Jump into back-to-school season with ease. Apply for a Fidelity personal loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Castles flying through the air, laughing with our friends. Fun is everywhere. Jumping higher, higher than before. Inflatable Kingdom, give us more and more.
Jump this way to fun at Inflatable Kingdom Attraction Park, opening Friday, July 10th at Breezes Cable Beach. Unlimited inflatable rides for kids up to 12. Kids $25, adults $5. Adult supervision required.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to do so on 323-6232 or 325-4252. 59. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Of course, Fitch was commenting on the government surplus projection arising out of a release it did in response to the government's annual borrowing plan, which is a requirement of our fiscal laws. And that plan sets out what the government intends to do in terms of its borrowing. The government has gross borrowing needs of about $1.24 billion, that's about 5.5% of GDP. Which the government is going to use not to support government operations per se, but to support debt repayments, okay? And so that's the existing debt that may to be required to be rolled over. The government is going to roll over that debt. And then the government says that it's going to use that $223.1 million in surplus. It expects to get to increase cash. At the time when this article in The Guardian is pointing out, at the time when Minister of Finance Alkidis gave his budget communication, he indicated that while the fiscal deficit was sitting at $157 million in the first 9 months of the fiscal year, that they expected to meet their surplus because they were going to make that up in the next 3 months of the year. That means they expected in October, November, and December to make up the $157 million plus to be able to meet their surplus target. So we don't know what that surplus is yet. We don't know what the outcome of the fiscal year is going to be like yet. But so let me give you my prediction. Okay? Let me give you my prediction. This is Zhivago Lang's prediction. This is not the Guardian Radio's prediction. It's not the University of the Bahamas' prediction. This is Zhivago Sean Lang's prediction. This is my prediction. Come hell or high water, there will be a surplus in the 25-26 fiscal year. I suspect it will be less, but there will be a surplus. Why? Because I have no doubt that the government is able to manage, manage the numbers, the accounts, the cash accounts, so that that is achieved. Okay, I have no doubt. Come hell or high water, I have no doubt that the government will achieve a surplus in the 26-27 year, because the government is able to manage the numbers, the accounts, in this cash accounting system we have, to do so and show and prove that Fitch is wrong. Now, I don't think it's going to be $223 million at all, but it'll be a surplus, and it'll be able to say to Fitch, you were wrong. But then let me also say that if someone knowledgeable is able and was able to go and take stock of the government, it would say, it could see, okay, well, the way you closed the books created that scenario. It was a situation of the spending you plan to make as allocated by the parliament versus the cash you actually, in fact, received, produced that surplus. I do not believe that that will be the case. I do not. I really don't. I also do not believe that it will clear up many of these arrears either and still have the surplus target met. I do not believe that that is possible. I do not. Now, if the government achieves a surplus or not, I really don't care. If the government is able, one, to meet its standing obligations, two, to take account and address its outstanding arrears, and three, finance some critical needs that still exist in the government of the Bahamas, whether it is in the public health space or it is in the education space or otherwise. If it does all those things and have a deficit, I will be utterly impressed. I will not be impressed with a surplus with deficiencies in public health, deficiencies in education, deficiencies in basic physical infrastructure in the country. I will not be impressed, but you ain't impressed me. I'm only one citizen in the Bahamas. So I'm not saying, I'm just saying what my response would be. So I'm not saying that means anything. I'm just Zhivago Lang, right? But I'm just saying me. I'm hoping that by sharing with you what I'm sharing with you, that you will have a better sense and perspective your own self of how you should judge public finances, not on end results that can be achieved by management of accounts. That's not impressive, right? I can manage accounts to achieve ends. In fact, I could achieve real surpluses for the government of the Bahamas, but you will not be happy with the measures I take to do so. I promise you. I promise you that if you didn't care how I achieved it, if you made me Minister of Finance tomorrow, I would give you a surplus tomorrow, and I would take the surplus and I would start paying down your debt. I could do that, but I'm telling you, to do so, I'd hurt a lot of people. I would. A lot of people would be hurt. Some programs would definitely not be possible, right? So achieving some book outcome is not difficult. Achieving a very real outcome is not difficult, even though the huge consequences for the country. See, it's no different than you and your house. So let's say you do an assessment, because you know we do a financial week all the time, and we have people who come in and teach you how to manage, how to produce a budget, right? So let's say you look at all your income and you look at all your spending and you say, oh wow, I'm like spending $500 more every month than I'm making. That means that by the end of the year, I'll be $6,000 in debt. And you say, I'm going to do something about this. Yes, you can do something about this. So let me give you some things you could do. If you have children in private school, pull them out of private school. Put them in the public school. Now, that's going to be a big change for them, okay? You may be taking vacations. On your vacation, I could guarantee you, if you have a family of four, your vacation probably costing you between $3,000 and $4,000, and that's being modest. You could cut that out. And your family's going to be ticked off. We don't get to go on vacation. You go Christmas shopping and do all that stuff Christmas time. Cut all that out. It's a big change for your situation. But you will, in the end, achieve a surplus. It's no different with government people working on the government payroll, and lots of them, I promise you, are not essential. I'm not saying you should fire them, but they're not essential. You could pull them off. All these people working week by week, all these people working on contract who were employed when you got elected, you put all on them. You think they're going to like that? They won't like it, but it'll save the public money. You're flying all over the place. We ain't going to fly no more. Cut flying down to half. Tens of millions of dollars saved. Tens of millions. You could do that, but there are consequences from that, for that, okay? So it's not hard to balance the budget or create a surplus. There are harsh consequences to doing so, for sure. But there are ways to manipulate the close out of the government's fiscal year to achieve better numbers than you would get if you don't manipulate them. If you count revenue in the period it was received, the same way count expenditure in the period it was spent, you'd have a different financial result than if you hold back some terms of what should be paid and say, no, carry it over, sir. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lange, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together.
Great news. Launch Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery chargers, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5267.
Hungry for some serious beef? Then get ready, because Burger King Nassau is bringing back the double quarter pound king. That's a full half pound of flame grilled beef, topped with melty cheese, tangy mustard, crunchy pickle, and fresh onions. Served on a toasted sesame seed bun. Classic style. Big flavor. Big protein. Big satisfaction. Get your double quarter pound king meal with medium fries and a drink for only $10.35. More food, less money. Only at Burger King Nassau.
Budgeting and saving? Yes. Investing? Check. But what if you could do more? With an RF brokerage account, you can get priority access to local investment opportunities right as they come to the market. Never miss a bond or new share offering again. Plus, your place and benefit from expert investment advice. Contact us at brokerage@rfgroup.com to start doing more today. Some conditions apply. RF, money at work.
No budget for a vacation this summer? No worries. We got you. Guardian Radio 96.9 will fly you and a guest to South Florida for a vacation of a lifetime. Our sweet summer escape gets you round-trip tickets on Bahamas Air. $1,000 spending cash, thanks to Percy's Island Games. Brand new luggage from Brass and Leather. 4 days and three nights at the beautiful Holiday Inn Express Plantation. Free car rental from Hertz, too. All you need is your passport. We got you covered. Enter now for the Guardian Radio 96.9 Sweet Summer Escape. Fill out the form in today's Nassau Guardian and follow us on all social media platforms. Remember, you must be 18 or older to enter. Entry deadline August 12th, drawing August 14th. Taxes not included and certain restrictions apply.
Did you know that world-class medicine is just a quick flight away in Tampa? Tampa General is Florida's premier academic health system and one of America's top hospitals. Our global medicine program delivers advanced treatment options, assists with coordinating travel, and provides cultural support from a multilingual team. Discover the power of academic medicine at Tampa General's Global Medicine Program. For more, visit tgh.org/globalmedicine.
I'm not afraid. Take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 AM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259, 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. Someone texts to say that when Fitch gave the government a good rating the other time, they praised Fitch. Now they want to ditch Fitch. They ain't ready. And you know, good news in love with bad news. That's for sure. But you know, I respect these international credit rating agencies and what they bring to the table to look at the fiscal performance of the country. But I don't need them to tell me anything about the Bahamas' fiscal situation. I don't. In fact, I think that we are closer to the situation that they could ever hope to be, and that there are things that we see as indicators of the fiscal health of the country that they don't see. And so we could tell them what time it is. You know, we could tell them, you know, our vendors and contractors don't go complaining to them when they can't get paid. They come tell us. They tell us, man. Is it like why you think these people can't pay us, man? I say, I can tell you one thing. I know the treasurer would love to, but you only can pay with the cash is in the bank. And the cash is there. I'm not saying it ain't coming at some point, but the flow ain't so even. You know, especially when you're spending here and spending there and spending on this thing and spending on the next thing. That's very hard. Keep that cash. Because, you know, every month you got to make. That's $60+ million payroll, 60s and all that kind of stuff. Some things would ain't gonna wait. Man, on top of that, the contractor just finished that job and now he's looking to get paid. Could be hard. Could be difficult. And so, and I want y'all to know, can I tell y'all how this works? So, in actuality, the Minister of Finance's responsibility is to find the money that the Parliament has approved for spending. You realize I didn't say that to approve the money that people spend. That's not the Minister of Finance's job. The job of approving money to be spent is the Parliament's job. The Parliament allocates the Ministry of Finance, X amount. Education, X amount. This one, X amount. That's been approved to spend. Now, the logistics in spending that money have other approvals associated with it, but the spending has to be in accordance with the approvals of Parliament. Can I say that again? Your representatives in the House of Assembly, when they vote on the sum of money to be spent by every head in the budget. And each head is associated with a ministry or a department. And the Parliament says to the Ministry of Education, 200 or if 20 or 28 or 50 million dollars to the Department of Education, 200 and some million dollars. So the Parliament has already said those people are authorized to receive this monies. So the Minister of Finance's job isn't to approve spending. The approval, the Minister of Finance's job is to find the money to spend. That's his job. Your government say you can spend $4.4 billion? You better go find that $4.4 billion. You'll find it in taxes or you'll find it in borrowings or a combination thereof. But that's the job of the Minister of Finance. Find that money. Now, the Minister of Finance, Mr. Alkidis, ain't sitting around every day trying to find no money to pay no bills. That's not his job. That's not what he's doing. That's Simon Wilson's them job. Simon Wilson is financial secretary and all the arms, the revenue arms of the government of the Bahamas, they are out there trying to collect taxes and fees and what have you. And then where they see a difference, where they have borrowing authorization from the Parliament of the Bahamas, they go and set up these borrowings with different institutions in singular or in combination thereof. That's how that works. You got to go find that money. Some of you think that because the budget was passed, the government has $4 billion sitting up in some bank account somewhere. Absolute nonsense. At no point in time in the country does the government of the Bahamas have more than even $500 million sitting on anywhere just waiting to be spent. What they got is an overdraft facility with these banks that they can draw on. No $4 billion. That $4 billion is going to come in over 12 months. And some months, 30 million comes in. Some months, 200 million comes in. Some months, $75 million comes in. Some months, $60 million comes in. Some months, when the $60 million come in, $200 million is there to be paid. And that's when the boss, treasurer, got to scratch their head trying to figure out, okay, who can get paid and who ain't get paid and who can get paid a little bit. Because that's their job, to balance the cash. And sometimes their jobs are made harder because you got politicians making commitments all over the place that didn't take into account when monies would come in. Yeah, go, work on that, go do that. We approve that. But the cash flow don't match the project spend. And so all kind of hell break loose, and now Peter Raw getting robbed to pay Paul, and people cutting, suspending service, and that kind of stuff, because you can have challenges with your cash flow. This isn't new to the Davis administration. The Minnis administration would have experienced it. Christie administration would have experienced it. The Ingram administration would have experienced it. The Pinning administration would have experienced it. But what happens is it gets worse depending on the degree of discipline, control, and management by the minister and Ministry of Finance. Now, let me say, if you leave it to the technicians at the Ministry of Finance, you wouldn't probably have this tight, tight, tight. But if the Ministry of Finance is following the dictates of politicians, as they are obligated to do, if it's not unlawful, you could run into some challenges. You could run into a situation where the financial secretary may have to, I can't find no more money for this. I cannot. And then all hell break loose because the stuff hit the ceiling and this gets suspended, that not getting paid. And we still, as politicians, to tell you, we're doing a marvelous transformative job. We'll still tell you that. I mean, I wouldn't tell you that. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. I might as well tell you, I wouldn't do it. They always just tell me, say, I dry eye. And I am. I mean, I ain't gonna lie to you. I ain't trying to sugarcoat nothing for nobody because I don't think that's helpful. I really don't. I'm sorry. I ain't perfect. I ain't even close to perfect. So I ain't sugarcoating my life for you. I ain't sugarcoating where I am in life. I ain't no rich, wealthy man, full and loaded with no cash. I ain't sugarcoating nothing for you. I'm not pretending nothing for you, for anybody. Because I believe that it is the truth that makes us free. Not no lie. Not no facade. Not no mirage. Not no oasis. That's virtual. No, I think people should hear the God honest truth, right? And then they can make decisions around your honest truth. Don't sugarcoat nothing for your children. What the deal is, and then you all can decide how to handle it. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're gonna take a break for news. When we come back, we got some more stuff to talk about. We'll be back after this news break.
Everybody, come take my hand.
We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand.
We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. Join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can call us from the family of islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Boy, let me tell y'all something. So y'all, I told y'all that I had these young people in Atlanta doing the corporate tour, and we had a great tour. But boy, like, our schedule got so tight. You know, we missed a tour of Atlanta Braves Stadium, Truist Park. Man, they had caps for us. They had one of the baseball players who was gonna meet them with us, and I felt so bad. I felt bad. We also had one lineup for Google. Did you get it, Google? Oh my God! Next year. They had a lot going on in Atlanta. That was the problem. A lot going on in Atlanta. Okay. So I have a text here, says, yep, they will achieve it probably by holding back and or deferring payments into next fiscal year or not paying outstanding arrears, et cetera, et cetera. It's easy. That's all I'm saying. It's easy to get a surplus. It's easy. Okay. We have a text here. Says, they have $700 million sitting in the investment fund. Uh-huh. So says the Minister of Finance. And I listen to me. I'm dead serious now. I'm really serious. I would think maybe I'm a former Minister of State in the Ministry of Finance. I would think if I raised a question about the status of $700 million that the Minister of Finance says they transferred to the National Investment Fund. And if I raise questions about how that is possible and suggest that it might be useful to verify and confirm the status of those funds, I could think somebody would respond. Don't you? Do you not think that that's worthy of a response? Anybody? $700 million? I mean, like, seriously? Now? That we are so in the money, like, we can just toss around $700 million, and if people ask about it, we don't have to answer? I mean, that is fascinating to me. I ain't gonna lie to y'all. Okay? I'm gonna tell y'all, with every ounce of intelligence, every ounce of sincerity, every ounce of experience I have, it is astounding to me that the government of the Bahamas does not feel any duty, any obligation to further clarify the status of $700 million it said it transferred to the National Investment Fund. And the opposition, I'm sorry, I could not a day let that go. Y'all see how often I mention that on this show? We go move on to other things? Seriously? All the cash need that exists in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, I can just pass over, gloss over, that you transferred $700 million to the National Investment Fund and don't tell me the status of it? Was it spent? Was it utilized? What happened to it? Where is it? Sent to an entity that has no board? I'm sorry, man. I mean, no. Somebody? No. Wow. It says, Lang, why are you helping them? They don't want to be helped. They don't want to help themselves because they have to please their cronies. In all truthfulness, they will be falling backward. They hear you, but will not pay heed to you. Okay. So this text is, so are you saying that Simon Wilson do not want to find the money, or is it Simon Wilson who is doing this, not paying the people? Is a surplus more important to this government than paying the people? First of all, I'm not saying any of those things about Simon Wilson. I'm saying a financial secretary could come to a point where, as a technician, they can say, listen, the amount of money you require, I cannot find, meaning you are mounting too much spending pressure to be relieved by any financial or revenue measure I can take. And that's fair. That's a fair technical point to be made to a political directorate. So that's what I'm saying is possible. That has nothing to do with whether Simon Wilson doesn't or don't want to pay people. That's none. It's about the ability to get and raise the required funds at any given time, given the demand. And whether a surplus is more important than paying people, it could be. You just decide who you can pay, and if they don't get paid, too bad, too sad. That's possible. Quite possible. Okay. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, Mr. Lang, what's up, man?
Hey, I'm right here, man. What's up?
Let me congratulate you on an excellent program you run in here in Grand Bahama with those kids. You know, it was a pleasure and honor to see you in action. and to watch to see the look on those children's faces as you invited your guest, Mr. Thompson, to speak at your event. So I just want to just public on what you're doing with these kids.
By the way, I didn't just invite Mr. Thompson. I invited every member of parliament to attend and have a meet and greet with those young people. Minister Ginger Moxie, who has been very supportive of the program, who normally greets and meets with them and speaks to them, was unable to because it was a cabinet day. And the leader of the opposition, who was a member of parliament, Grandmama, was unable to attend because he was attending PAC meeting in Grand Bahama. But Mr. Thompson was extremely wonderful in being able to attend. And I wasn't able to hear from Frazier, but maybe she was otherwise occupied. I just want to be clear on that. It wasn't just a we invited West Grand Bahama, and I got his notification, but he did not show up. So that's I want to be clear on that.
Okay, then. I could only speak based on what I saw.
Understood.
But it's nice to know that you invited everybody and gave everybody an opportunity to speak on both sides.
Yes, sir. You
asked a question about the truth. I don't know if the Bahamian people are ready to hear the truth. And the reason why I say that, right, during the session, Mr. Pentard, he told the people about the passports and the illegal passports and the fake documents and all that. But here it is. We got people arrested. We got people charged. We got people brought before the courts in reference to these passports. When Mr. Pentard brought it up, everybody dismissed him. Same thing with the surplus. The opposition, they raised that's just a folly. There's no surplus. Again, the people dismiss him. Now, the passport was exposed. The surplus is exposed. What else was going to be exposed? So it ain't like the Bain people didn't know or didn't hear it. I don't know if they want to hear it.
Mm. Well, we'll see. Mind you, again, let me say, bro, listen to me carefully. I predict there will be a surplus. You didn't hear me, eh? You didn't hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, there's going to be a surplus, brother, plus.
and I find that extremely cruel that you have $700 million sitting on at your disposal, and you have so many people that you're suffering. You have so many people that you're crying for their payment. You have so many unions, the armed forces and the teachers, they're about to go on strike. Ambulance missing, fire trucks missing. There's so many needed things that have to be done.
You come into the teachers next.
Yeah, and you got $700 million just sitting on there. Come on, that's cool.
Do we have $700 million sitting somewhere?
But,
do we?
And I refuse to believe that this administration will lie to the Bahamian people. I'll hang up and continue to listen.
Well, they didn't say the money was sitting on nowhere. They said it was transferred to the National Investment Board.
That's fine.
All right. Thank you, man.
All right.
Appreciate you. Speaking of teachers, Madam President of the Bahamas Union of Teachers, Belinda Wilson, says that they were in negotiations with the government of the Bahamas over their trade agreement. And in the course of their negotiations, the negotiators for the government of the Bahamas walked away. Now, let me say this much. This is kind of new anyways in the Bahamas, where you sending people to go negotiate for the government. As I remember on Diamond, that's what the government is doing. You go sit down with the union people. Sometimes I remember Prime Minister used to do it. Or after the Minister of Finance or Education, them only get so far, he step in. And you sit down to people and then you go talk and talk and talk. You ain't need no interlocutor. Mediator. Hey, think about the time you get to waste. You the decider. You the decider. Right? You know how much money you have and can't spend. You the Minister of Finance. Right? Why need an interlocutor? Sit down with the president of the union, and you are able to say to the president of the union, ma'am, listen, I regard highly our teachers. We know we need them. We know that perhaps we are not giving them, paying them what we ought. Let me show you what the financial circumstances are. Let me tell you what I could do. Our negotiators start out from a position where the union people will start out from their highest position, and the government people will start off from their lowest position, and each will work and work and work until they come to that happy medium, right? But you know what the facts are. You the minister. You know what the money is. You know what you're prepared to do and what you're not prepared to do. You sending these interlocutors who got to go and whisper in your ear after they didn't finish whispering and speaking to the people and so forth and so forth. Not Ingram. And his word is his bond. You're done. We finished, man. Thank you, ma'am. Sign and shake hand and move on. And so, but the union president says, negotiators walked away. And now she has put her staff on notice, her members on notice that, you know, we expect things to happen. The parliamentary secretary in the Ministry of Finance, Minister Kenan Johnson, says that what the minister, what the president of the union said was not so, that the government remains committed to ongoing discussions. Well, if you walk away from the negotiations, how is that a commitment? A commitment is you stay there and you keep arguing, and then you say, you know, listen, can we take a break? We come back tomorrow, we come back the after tomorrow, but you don't call and say we ain't coming back. Even if you go back and say, listen, I ain't prepared to discuss no further today, but give them a little more time and so forth and so forth. But you can't tell me you're committed and you walk away. You can't tell me you're committed and you don't make the meeting you schedule and you don't reschedule the meeting. That's not commitment. That's uncertainty. That's confusion. Okay? Let's be clear now. You can't gaslight me. Right? You're not gonna tell me one thing and your behavior and actions tell me another something. Okay? If you're committed to negotiations, you hang and stick in there. It gets sticky, it gets a little murky, it gets a little combative, but you hang in there. Well, what you all think this is? Right? Say the negotiation team has confirmed that we are more than 90% of the way towards an agreement, and the government remains hopeful that outstanding issues can be resolved. Well, that's nice. But stick in there, you can resolve the 10% if you don't go back to the table and you walk away and don't set up a new time. Say the focus continues to be on reaching a fair and responsible conclusion through good faith negotiations. Okay, wonderful. But the union president say you walk away. Now, you negotiating with somebody, they say you walk away. You say you didn't walk away. That's two grown people with two different perspectives on the same thing. But if you were scheduled to go and make a meeting, you don't go, and you don't reschedule a meeting, you walked away. I'm with the union president, if that's what happened. But the president says she's hopeful that the government will come back. And I agree though. You did what? You ain't gonna meet with the teachers union, and you can finish that agreement, you want open school in September. That would not. So the government, I expect the government will go back. You know. See, let me tell you all something. You cannot herald the people. Oh, sorry, let me listen. Go on, call her. We're listening to you. Go on, call her. Sorry, go ahead, call her.
No, Let me make this one sentence. I hope it in 2 minutes because it's not like you were answered that you already answered my question or about to answer my question.
So let me finish the sentence and I'll say, you cannot herald to people that you got a surplus and that your revenue is at historic levels and then turn around and tell people, I can't afford to pay you the money you ask. Go ahead, ma'am.
I'm glad you're on today because as somebody who's familiar with politics, who have been in these seats and seen some stuff, what do you make of what is happening? Because the good minister sounded very sincere in terms of them being able to complete the concerns, and they were not far away from it. So it was so positive. What do you make of what is happening and why? What is going on? As a regular citizen, I am baffled. I don't get it. I don't understand why. It doesn't seem like they're asking for anything additional. So what do you make of that type of move? They didn't meet. They didn't indicate that they said that somebody else would go and operate on their behalf. What do you think is the real reason behind why they didn't follow through? I'll hang up in a minute.
So, thank you. Yes, ma'am. So let's suppose a fella is lifting weights and his target is to lift 250 pounds because he's never done that. And he lifts 200 pounds, he lifts 220 pounds, he lifts 230 pounds, and then he gets to 249, and he just needs one more pound to lift. Just one. Doesn't sound like a lot, eh? But that 1 pound may be a threshold pound, meaning when added to the weight, it could be the thing that actually makes him buckle. While he endured the 249, that one little pound could be the threshold pound that says, no, brother, you can't do this. So just because people tell us that only 10% is left and the 90% is the easiest stuff or the easiest stuff or the more bearable stuff, but that 10%, I could assure you, may be the sticking point, may be the thing. See, let me tell you how government's negotiations with people go. So when the government negotiates with teachers, it's not just negotiating with teachers. See, because the government has to think, when I give teachers this raise, who is the next in line coming to ask me for money who will compare the percentage increase I give to teachers to what they are asking? So the government is having to consider the financial implications of its decision with a union against the backdrop of its decisions with every union. And so if it were just the teachers' union and nobody else would come around and nobody else would be looking for nothing, or even sometimes when the government finished negotiating with people, people start to say, oh, look at them. They get 10%, they get 15%, they get 8%, and we only get 3%. Oh, and then you get disgruntlement. So sometimes the government is taking account of what the implications are of doing a certain something. And that may be the thing that is backing them into a corner regarding that thing. So they didn't tell us what the 10% outstanding is. I didn't hear Belinda Wilson say it was 10%. I mean, she may have, but they didn't tell us what it was. The 10%, the actual rate increase. I don't know that. Was the 10% some lump sum payment that was to be made maybe in a couple of installments or a single installment? Was there a bonus situation? We don't know any of that. All we know is someone tell us, well, we 90% of the way. That don't mean nothing. what matters is what constitutes the outstanding 10%. And so to my mind, I think it's financial. I think it's a huge financial consideration that maybe made the government back away. Because it almost always is about the money. Almost always is. Right? I think that's the you. This text says the government is carrying on like a bunch of gangsters. Do you believe that if the people did send the PLP home, this would not have been happening? I don't know. I cannot say. You know, different people do things differently. This text says, knowing Michael Pintard as I know him, I know several things that are happening that would not have been happening. I know that. I can tell you that. Is it okay to blame the people who voted for the PLP and the people who stayed home and leave this worthless, good-for-nothing nightmare government in power? Man, you could do whatever you want to do, but I try to do the things that's helpful. And that ain't helpful, but, you know. But each person has to reflect on what they did, what they chose, each of us. It says, it appears that this government just does not care about us. They do not care about people being paid, contractors, the doctors, the nurses, and the teachers. This is what progress is all about. But I don't know. I don't know that it's an issue of caring, right? See, let me tell you something. You don't need me to say this to you all again. I've said it to you before. Let me say something to you. Leading up to an election, politicians become very sensitive to you. Why do you think the roads get paved that weren't being paved all along? Why do you think you now get vouchers where you weren't getting vouchers all along? Why do you think people giving you handouts here and handouts there when they weren't giving you handouts all along? Because it's election time. That power is secured for 5 years. Do you know what 5 years is? 5 years is 365 and one quarter day times five. Okay? That's a lot of days, a lot of hours, a lot of minutes, a lot of seconds. 5 years. That's the deal. I don't have to be as sensitive to you no more. Not as. The voting up for grabs then. So, yeah. It's not about caring. It's about the dynamics. The power dynamics has changed. That's what has happened. Can I explain that? Our dynamics has changed. Coming up to an election, the power is in your hands. And so the pendulum swings in favor of the voter. After the election, pendulum swings in favor of the voted for. Don't forget that. So you have to extract the level of commitment and dedication and authenticity and skillfulness you need at election time to guarantee yourself or to improve your prospects after election time. Sad go. Someone was telling me when I was in Atlanta how a lady got married. This actually happened to a fellow from one African country. And when they were on their honeymoon in the marriage bed, as she was being pleasured, and she mooned as a person might do. And she got slapped the heck out of. Because he said she was being disrespectful. She did not know that this culture brought with it that level of concern about her expressing her pleasure in that intimate environment. And that's what happens sometimes when you ain't figured out what you can get. Okay? But you got to figure that out before, if you can. This text says, Mr. Lang, please say what you say 1,000 times again. As the union's lead negotiator for a year or something, it is so frustrating dealing with labor mediators who take very long to get things done. The only way things were finalized, based on my experience, is when the PM stepped in, not even the minister, though. But that's the reality. That's the reality. I come in inside there talking to you. You telling me this is what it is, and then I got to go ask the man, I could agree this? You know how many steps we just added to a process that didn't need those steps? And don't tell me the prime minister's too busy for that. But I mean, it's the union of teachers. Right? He could actually reduce that time and get it done and move on. Right? See, now, otherwise, you do what Ingram do. Ingram sent me in one room and he said to Chicago, go get my money for me. sign my marching orders. And I didn't need to go back to him. I ain't leaving the room till I get the money. boy. Madam President. Please forgive me. Thank you for calling, I was trying to get you the other day to see if you might want to help us understand this dilemma you're in.
Well, I'm so glad that you are dealing with it today, and let me be as clear as I usually try to be. So okay. We've been at the table from October 2025, and I must say 99.9% of the times for us to get to the table, it is Belinda Wilson and her team writing to education, running behind the negotiators to go to the table. Now, we have completed, I would say, 90, 95% of the document. The document is over 65 pages with a good number of articles. So there are some articles that are not pertaining to money that we still have that's outstanding. And then, as you would have intimated, that the crux of the matter is money. So we were to go back to the table in May. That was put off. We pushed and pushed. We were to go back to the table on July the 15th. The government again informed us a day or two before. They're not prepared. Can we look at some other dates? I gave them three other dates. We agreed to yesterday, Wednesday, July the 22nd at 11 a.m. And we also were waiting for them to give us the venue. We got the venue, so we confirmed that we will be there, we'll be present for the negotiation. Yes, on Tuesday at 11:12 p.m., yes, in the night, in the evening, I then get a WhatsApp message from the lead negotiator. And it's saying that I write with respect to our proposed meeting tomorrow and your expectation of a revised counteroffer from the government via the Ministry of Education. Late this evening, the minister informed us that after careful review and consideration of your request, namely, and I won't say what it is, but that's a part of the money is. And then they said that the government has not agreed to it. To this end, the work of the negotiation team has been concluded. We have not been empowered to add anything to what we, the Ministry of Education and BUT, have already agreed to. With respect to a proposed meeting tomorrow, I thought it is only fit and proper to officially update you to avoid any expectation of further negotiations. Kindly let us know how you wish to proceed going forward. We thank you for your enduring patience in this protracted matter and wish you and your members all the best going forward. Now, I am an English major.
Yeah.
Consumers mean end.
But not only that, but let me ask you a question, though. How do you tell me you are not empowered to negotiate any further and then ask me how you would like to proceed? What you want me to do? I finish with you. You tell me you finish with me. I now need to go to your bosses.
See, and I'm really, I try not when I speak publicly, but I want the public to know whenever you hear me, I have my receipt, and I take exception now to young, overzealous young man. I must say, Mr. Kenan Johnson, the parliamentary secretary, from what I see, he is working, and he wishes to really make a mark in education, but I just want to put him on notice. Do not put me out in the public to say that what I'm saying is an untruth. because I will pull my receipts. So I just want to give him that caution. So if you postpone on July the 15th, you then write to me at 11:12 p.m. at night that we're not meeting on the July the 22nd, and you say you're not empowered to go further. So who walk away from the table? It have to be the government.
Ain't no question with that.
Right. So I wanted to make that clear. And so now they've written to say that, I'm going to see what they say now. Okay. So we're prepared to return to the negotiating table at a date and time and location to be mutually agreed. And I requested that we have a mediator because I think someone in the room without any horse in the race needs to hear both sides so they can give their advice as to what it is that they understand that the impasse is. So they said, we'll also advise on the matter of a mediator. There's no advising on the matter of a mediator because the principles and the rules of negotiations provide for when you get to an impasse, both sides can have a mediator. And I've already started to contact a few persons to see if they're willing to mediate. So it ain't no, you advise me on the matter of a mediator. A mediator is a part of the rules, the ground rules of negotiations. And I must say that I'm going to say this and without fear of contradiction. The government gives consultancies and contracts to persons to negotiate on their behalf who are ill-prepared. They don't have the skills for negotiation. They don't have the acumen to even know about the fees and the procedure for their negotiation and also for the ministry. They really don't have the capability to negotiate especially in a short while. It takes so long, there's so much time wasted. They come to the table unprepared. You telling me you come into a negotiation, you have no documentation. You walk in with a cell phone in your hand. You coming in, the negotiations are supposed to start at 10 or 11. You come stepping in at 11:30, 11:45, like you go into a casual event. See, negotiations are for the livelihood of
Let me ask you, Madam President, how many of these union agreements have you negotiated and have to have done so with mediators?
This is my fifth agreement, and the first agreement, I must say, the first agreement was 2006, November 17, 2006, we signed that. Actually, Minister Alfred Sayers and Director Iris Pinder, they were a part of the group, the team. Mm-hmm. Then what happened also, I remember specifically under when Hubert Ingram was the prime minister, we with Ministry of Education on like the curriculum and time to report to school and the school calendar, et cetera. Right. But when we got to the financial part, we had persons like Ehart Cunningham in the room and persons from, I remember even Simon Wilson was in the room, because I think he was the deputy of Mr. Cunningham at the time. So we had persons from finance who understands finance and who is able to speak to us. Now, let me tell you what we are getting, though. What we are getting is letters addressed to, and I won't go on, the chief labor consultant, sent from Simon Wilson. So whatever the government's financial proposal is to us, we have not sat with anyone from finance. Simon Wilson is sending proposals dated from the 22nd of January, 2026. They send the same proposal again in March. They send another proposal on the 8th of April. They sent another proposal on the 15th of April, and I must say to you that three of the proposals that they sent were duplicate. They kept sending back the same thing that we have refused. And so now they say they're going to send me something else, I guess, sometime today. But we have not sat with finance or the financial experts. They have been sending in the proposals, and it even addressed to us, it's addressed to the chief labor consultant. And then the chief labor consultant is coming in the room and saying, this is what they gave us from finance, and that's all we could do. So when you talk about negotiations, I heard you earlier talking about giving and taking. Because if I ask for $10 and you say you're going to give me $7, then we can reach a happy medium at $8.25 or at $8 or $8.50. But it's none of that. They are telling us, take it or leave it. And let me also put this on the record before I go. The Bahamas Union of Teachers is a union from 1947. We're going to be 80 years old. We don't have to stoop, and we don't have to compromise with any government, and everything the government says we agree with, because we received our recognition and our registration in the proper manner. That's all I can say about that for now, but I can deal with this point of that next union at another time.
Well, Madam President, we appreciate you coming on. But you know, one of the things I can tell you from my own experience that I recall is when negotiations were taking place between unions, and yours was one of them, I recall ministers of education coming to Mr. Ingram with great regularity saying, well, this is what the English is, and you know, and so forth. So he was heavily involved. Even if
and
not...
It seems to be no involvement from Prime Minister Davis, and I've sent him over and over, and I can tell you, Mother's Day, me and him was on the phone going back and forth about allowances. You telling me that we're saying to you that these islands have no hospitals, they have no banks, they have boats that may go once every 2 weeks, maybe once a week, etc., which are hardship areas. And you saying to us, these persons were getting hardship allowances previously. The conditions have not changed, but whoever it was, because we don't know yet, have taken these islands off of the hardship list. We cannot stand for that. Our members have to make sure that our teachers are taken care of, because if you want us to be out there, you want us to teach our children, then our minds have to be at peace. Our rent needs to be paid. We have to make sure that our salary comes on time. You know how many teachers we have that they calling me, and it's what happened. The landlord just gave me an eviction allowance, is to be paid by the government, not by the teacher. So no matter what they do, let me let them know, they cannot undermine the Bahamas Union of Teachers. And whoever signed for the pittance, not on them. My members have already voted 97.5%. They rejected what the government sent. So we told them, go and review it and come back. Let us look at some numbers that we can accept.
President, I'm not chasing you. I don't want you to go, because you can't come on the show and not mention and help us understand the proposal recruit. I'm only going to say foreign teachers for now, because I don't want to say it's 300 people from Ghana, because I don't know. I have the mixed messages.
Why are you trying to get me out of character?
But you can't go and not clarify this issue as much as you can help us understand. But I got to take a break, and if you could hang on for like a minute. Please, thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we can take a break. We'll be back with the president of the Bahamas Union of Teachers, Linda Wilson, right after this break.
Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Southwest Plaza has so many stores, I've been trying to find a sensible way to list them all. There's CBS Bahamas, the Asheye Institute, BENC Snack World, Bamboo Shack Bahamas, there, the Athlete's Foot, NBTC, Games and More, John Bullfine, Threads Alive, Bahari, Dairy Queen, 700 Wines and Spirits, Sandy's, Clarkson, Island Luck, Starbucks and Lowe's Pharmacy, plus Marco's Pizza and Lorraine. Southwest Plaza, what a wide array of stores. Southwest Plaza, stop by today and explore.
At Everybody Wins Live, the winning is bigger, the action is hotter, and the excitement never stops. We're giving away thousands in cash and free spins every month through our high-paying casino tournament. From Spin-Off to Spin Rush to our high-energy slot race tournament, your next spin can turn into your next payday. But that's not all. Lottery players can chase the jackpot, where every $10 lottery spend gets you one step closer to bursting the next jackpot. Will you be our next winner? What are you waiting for? Visit Everybody Wins Live to see all the ways you can cash in.
Running low on summer funds? Squeeze every drop of fun out of your summer with Fidelity Personal Loan. From backyard upgrades to family getaways, Fidelity is here to help. Call 356-7764 today.
Fidelity, we're good.
Shop early to get your uniforms and catch Janae's Uniform Center's buy four, get one free sale. Pre-monogrammed and regular school shirts, dry fit and cotton polos, jumpers, skirts, boys' long and short pants, PE shorts, underclothes, tights, socks, neckties, belts, sleeping mats, hair accessories, and character work desk. Get 50% off backpacks, lunch bags, and raincoats. Buy four school shirts, get one free. Buy two skirts, jumpers, or pants, get the third 50% off. Need embroidery and monogramming done? Visit Janae's Uniform Center early. Beat the back-to-school rush. Janae's Chesapeake Road back-to-school special. Restrictions apply.
Tell them. Running through the castles, flying through the air, laughing with our friends, fun is everywhere. Jumping higher, higher than before, Inflatable Kingdom, give us more and more.
Jump this way to fun at Inflatable Kingdom Attraction Park, opening Friday, July 10th at Breezes Cable Beach. Unlimited inflatable rides for kids up to 12. Kids $25, adults $5. Adult supervision required.
Did you know that world-class medicine is just a quick flight away in Tampa? Tampa General is Florida's premier academic health system and one of America's top hospitals. Our global medicine program delivers advanced treatment options, assists with coordinating travel, and provides cultural support from a multilingual team. Discover the power of academic medicine at Tampa General's global medicine program. For more, visit tgh.org.
Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. For the moment, we have the president of the Bahamas Union of Teachers with us, Mrs. Belinda Wilson. Ma'am, let me give you as much time as you can have to clarify for us what is happening with the recruitment. First of all, what's the status of the numbers of teachers required, whether you have enough, don't have enough, we produce enough?
Okay, it is my understanding the Ministry of Education did an audit. So in doing an audit, that would give them the numbers of primary school teachers needed, science, mathematics, all of the various disciplines. However, let's speak specifically about the teachers from Ghana, the Ghanaians. Okay, when some teacher saw on Facebook that the Minister of Foreign Affairs from Ghana posted that 300 Guyanese teachers are coming to the Bahamas to teach, and it's there this year, which is 2026. So all horns went up for me because it kept coming. And so I made a public statement. because, first of all, I want to say that we love, we appreciate the non-Bahamian teachers that are here in the Bahamas and those who have served, I mean, for decades. They've really been a plus for the Bahamian educational system. But I don't think as a teacher, as a president of the union, and as teachers and the public, that someone from another country should be posting so casually on Facebook, on their Facebook page, that they are providing 300 teachers for the Bahamian education system. That is a no-no for us. So I then responded to the media. Since that, we've had a meeting. I had a meeting with the new permanent secretary and the parliamentary secretary on Monday. So they have explained that they are recruiting teachers from Ghana, from Kenya. They've also reached out to the UK, to the USA, and you would know that we cannot actively recruit from the Caribbean because there's some sort of agreement that we won't take from each other. But there are some persons from the Caribbean, to my understanding, who are applying. So the government, I said to them, but y'all never went out publicly and refuted that it's not 300 coming from Ghana. So anyway, there is a need for teachers. Now, what I can say that we've done from our end, the BUT, on Monday I provided the permanent secretary, the undersecretary, the underdirector of education with a list of 65 Bahamians. So there are 65 Bahamian teachers. Some are retirees. Others have been waiting from last year, 2025, to be hired. Some resigned and they wish to return. There are a few who are Bahamian students who went off to school. They're teaching in the U.S. and they wish to return. So I provided them with 65, and I actually have about four more to add to that list. So I'll send that additional four to them sometime today. Actually, that's what I'm working on now. So UBS, about 60, and it's my understanding that apart from UB, apart from the list that I would have provided, there are maybe between 100, 150 persons who are walking, who are applying. They have put together a task force, and I must say that's one of the recommendations that I suggested. So thank God they actually took a recommendation. So they do have a task force that they've put together to work directly on recruitment. However, again, they dropped the ball because if they are recruiting from outside of the country and a team together, the union is supposed to be a part of the team for the expat recruitment. Because we've been a part of the team now for several years. And when they've been going like to Cuba, I always send an officer who will be there to observe and work along with the government team. So they said that they have a task force. They're using Mabel Walker Primary School. However, right. For me, there's a Ghanaian teacher who was at orientation last year, August 2025. I won't call his name. He is still waiting to be processed. So I asked him in the meeting, if you can't process one Ghanaian in 1 year, how you can process 300 in 5 weeks? And we are very concerned. We want to make sure that their English language, you know, is strong enough. Because as simple as you talk about vowels, A-E-I-O-U, someone with a different accent from another country, that would not sound the same way that we would say. That's important.
But do you Yes, ma'am. So because do you know, Madam President? You know, let me just tell you that in reverse. I know of Bahamian teachers and students have complained about their accents.
Yes, it's difficult. It's difficult. And what we are concerned about too is as we read up now, Ghana's minister. It's so ironic. This man announces on our independence that there are 300 Ghanaian teachers that are coming here. Then on June the 18th, 2026, in their parliament, their minister of education is saying that they have a shortage of between 50,000 and 90,000 teachers need.
No, ma'am.
Yeah,
that's
serious?
No.
That they need. The other thing is, I've touched base. Don't worry. I know people from all around the world, so I don't touch base with my people in Africa. All right? So the other thing with the concern is one of the unions have written to the government, and I can send you that document too, where they are concerned that there's so much fraudulent degrees, and they pointed out teacher certification and degrees they are concerned about that's in Ghana. So they're saying to anyone who's recruiting, and they even spoke about international recruitment, to make sure that the documentation that you're getting, the certification, the degrees, that the transcripts that you are getting from persons from Ghana, you're getting it from directly from the university or from their embassies, etc.
These instances, because of the nature of things these days, some of these things got to be passed through Interpol.
Oh, definitely. But well, they said it's going through Interpol. But I'm saying, if you have one Ghanaian teacher who was waiting to be into orientation August 22nd last year, who's still at home waiting to be hired, when are you going to process and put through Interpol and vet?
We have to agree next week sometime to spend some time on talking about these and other matters, because I have a number of questions that I wanted to raise with you. But if you're minded, we'll offline, we'll agree next week.
No problem.
Thank you so very much. I think
it needs to be addressed. And yes. I just want to say to persons who are so political, just for God's sake, Just listen. Don't just jump to conclusions. Listen to all sides and make an intelligent conclusion.
Thank you, ma'am. We appreciate you. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We left a call on the line, but call her next time, please. God's best life. We'll be back with you again tomorrow. You all have a great and fantastic afternoon.
To take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand.